But the thing you have to keep in mind before you give up is that if you give up, the guarantee is it will never happen.
Keep pushing through it, and you'll make it through the day.
No matter how bad things get, life is beautiful, and things will always be better. Everything is worth it.
Scared? Alone? Unsure of what's to come? This podcast is for our brothers and sisters who struggle with homelessness. Join us on this journey to improve our mental health, to challenge what's possible, to become who we are. Let's ignite hope one spark at a time and set our dreams on fire.
Welcome back, all of my friends in the Street Strong community. So happy that you're with us. Today, we're going to talk about the recent moon landing and how that relates to homelessness. Oh, it's a doozy. We've got a doozy today for you. I am so excited for this episode. We just landed on the moon for the 47th time. I don't know who's counting anymore. Why aren't we going to Mars? Aside the point. But this is, you know, this is something I honestly didn't even think about. I didn't even care about. But last Friday on Skid Row, one of my good pals who's homeless mentioned, you know, how ridiculous it was that we're going back to the moon, and how insane it is because we can't even fix our problems here on Earth, and yet there we are going back to the moon for the 59th time. Now, you might have heard that before. I think I've heard that before. There have been people that always kind of, you know, roll their eyes when we go back to the moon or when we go to space. They roll their eyes even more when Elon Musk talks about, you know, building moon colonies or Mars colonies. It all sounds a little ridiculous, but I think it's time that we not only talk about what this moon landing is and how it relates to homelessness, but we really dig deep. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to dig deep about this moon landing, how it relates to homelessness. We're going to talk about, you know, perspective, right? We're going to actually, no pun intended, but we're going to bring all of us back down to earth, if you will, because this is bananas. This is crazy. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about what is the goal of the moon landing and how that contrasts with our goals for homelessness or our lack of goals for homelessness, what we could be doing with the money from a moon landing if we dedicated that to homelessness. And we're just going to talk about why this is all a little bit crazy and what this says about humanity. What does this say about humanity and the stuff that we're not doing right? But also, what does it say about the stuff we are doing right? And how do we leverage this as a community to really believe in ourselves and move forward? Because at the end of the day, folks, this podcast is all about good fun. It's serious, and no doubt about it. We have serious issues to tackle as a community together. But it's also meant to be lighthearted and inspirational and fun and insightful and full of perspective. And that's what we're going to try to do together as a community today. So lean back, grab a cup of coffee or a hot tea or just a water, and enjoy this episode. I really am excited to have a good chat with you today. I don't know when I'm thinking about the moon landing and all of it entails, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. And at first I just wanted to fall asleep because I'm kind of bored by going back to the moon. But here we go. Can't wait to talk about it. So what is up with this landing? What is it exactly? Well, a private company called Intuitive Machines essentially sent a lunar lander, a 6-foot like rover lander. I don't know the difference between a lander and a rover, but they send a 6-foot lunar lander all the way to the moon, okay? And apparently, this is the first U.S. vehicle on the moon since Apollo 17 in 1972. Okay. If you asked me if this was like trivia night, I would have thought we were on the moon last year and the year before that and the year before that, playing golf, planting our flags, beating our chest that we're back on the moon again. I don't know a whole lot about the moon, so this was interesting. And it gets even more interesting when we contrast this with homelessness and our fight and our battle to eliminate homelessness. So here we are. It's the first U.S. vehicle back on the moon since 1972. And this is a private company sending a rover all the way up to the moon, 640-some thousand miles away. Can you imagine 640,000 miles? I mean, that's mind-blowing. You know, from New York to L.A. is like 3,500 miles or something. From New York to L.A., I mean, imagine 650,000 miles we send this little rover all the way up to the moon. And, you know, in this company's defense, they're not just going to the moon, okay? They want to explore the south pole of the moon, the southern region of the moon, because there's a lot of water and ice, apparently, or ice, and it's abundant. And there's a bunch of craters, and so they want to figure out like stuff about water and ice and how, you know, can this be an environment where we can use it to launch future space missions from, you know, instead of having to launch missions all the way from Earth, let's launch it from the moon where the gravity is 1/6 as heavy. We can launch it from the moon. It'll be lighter. It'll be cheaper. And the moon's got all these potential minerals and formations that we can use to launch even more things out into space. If you think this is kind of pointless and crazy, you are right. It is pointless and crazy. I am sure there are a lot of space enthusiasts out there. I have a family full of them. I love them to death. But it is a little bit pointless and crazy when you think about all of the problems we have here on Earth, right? And my philosophy is, you know, if I had a magic wand, you know, if I was ruler of the universe for the day, I would say, nobody's going to the moon until we make sure every man, woman, and child has 3 hots and a cot down on Earth. Nobody's going to the moon. It's the same principle if, you know, your mom and dad are telling their kid, their 4-year-old son, you got to eat your vegetables before you eat the chocolate cake. I mean, we've been dealing with this since we were kids. We know the drill, right? But lo and behold, we've got all this homelessness, we've got all of this hunger, and there we are, 640,000 miles away, going, you know, having fun, doing our thing on the moon. So anyhow, let's keep going here. So we sent this rover up there. It's called Odysseus, and we sent this bad boy up there, and interestingly enough, this thing tips over. So it actually tips over, and everybody down here freaks out. Okay, everybody's freaking out. Oh my God, this thing tipped over. But don't panic. They used lasers to, and this is where whoof goes right over my head. They use lasers to get this thing back on its feet again so that it lands properly on the moon. Okay. Totally blows my mind how they do that. And bear with me if you're looking at your watch saying, what the hell does this have to do about homelessness? Oh, this gets really juicy and it gets really fun. Okay, because we're gonna tie this all together pretty soon. So there we are on the moon, shooting this thing 650,000 miles away. It tips over. We all freak out. Oh, no problem. Bring in the lasers. And bam, now this little rover, this little Odysseus, I shouldn't say it's little, it's 6 feet, it's taller than me. And there it is, scouring around for minerals, looking for a place to find water, and Lord knows what else they're doing up there. It's amazing. It's amazing just the scope of this mission that we're able to do this. That what human beings can accomplish together when they set their minds to it. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how this company is just proving that we actually can do incredible things? And when I say incredible, I mean absolutely mind-bending, mind-blowing human achievements that, you know, even 80, 90 years ago would have felt like magic. It would have felt impossible. You know what it would have felt like? It would have felt like that last time you heard one of your friends say, it's impossible to eliminate poverty. There's always going to be poverty, right? That's what that feels like. You know, if you could go back to 1900 or 1840 and tap a random dude on the shoulder and say, hey, buddy, see the moon up there? Hey, I'm going to go walk on that thing one day. Yeah, I'm going to go walk on that thing. I'm going to plant a flag on it. And one day, I'm going to use that bad boy to launch all the way up to Mars so I can live there in an igloo. Okay, that sounds crazy. That sounds crazy. And yet, ending homelessness, ending poverty, ending hunger, you know, that doesn't sound that crazy when you put it next to the fact that we're already doing mind-bending kinds of stuff, by going to the moon. So this whole thing is crazy to me. I think one of the craziest things about this is that one of the stated missions of a lot of these space junkies, one of the stated missions is that they want to learn how to live sustainably on the moon. Can you imagine? I mean, just wrap your head around that for a second. I'm not even making this up. They want to learn how to sustainably live on the moon. We don't even know how to build a sustainable Los Angeles. We don't know how to build a sustainable planet. We're choking to death on carbon dioxide. We're mutilating entire ecosystems. We are cutting down trees in the Amazon so we can build hot tubs. And so what makes you think that these same people who are destroying entire habitats so they can inflate their bathing suits at the end of the night in a hot tub and make that giant bubble? It's actually very fun to do. But what makes you think the guy who's jumping into his hot tub just to watch his pants inflate, that guy, what makes you think that same kind of person is going to be able to build a sustainable habitat on the moon? Folks, this is crazy. This is crazy, and we're doing it backwards. It doesn't make any sense at all. It just doesn't make sense. And my friend on Skid Row, he saw this before I did. I mean, he just said, this is crazy. And to him, it's insulting, right? It's insulting because, one in four people in LA County don't even have enough food to really survive or to eat healthy. They're in food insecure environments, like one in four in LA County. I mean, you walk around LA, you see these massive mansions, there's celebrities everywhere. The cost of their, one blade of grass on their lawns could feed half of Los Angeles. And one in four people in LA County don't even have enough food to really survive or get by. It's food scarcity. It's just mind blowing, and you can't blame them, folks on Skid Row, for feeling a certain way about the fact that we're celebrating, in Florida when we're launching this stuff up into space. We've got 41,000 people in Los Angeles County that live in the streets or in their own cars or in shelters. That number's only going up. Now, I don't want to misrepresent that, because there are some fantastic initiatives that are going down. We have a major new initiative called Prop 1 in the state of California that's coming on the ballot here in March of 2024. A big shout out to Ruth Ruthless, who sent me a wonderful voice message. Ruth, if you're listening to this. We are going to address Prop 1. We'll even do an episode for you about Prop 1 and how it relates to homelessness and why politics, why big voting issues matter, and why we all got to be in tune to those issues and talk about them together. So Ruth Ruthless, thank you for your beautiful voice message. If you're listening to this, please send me a voice message. They're in the link in the show notes. You can also email me at streetstrongpodcast@gmail.com. Always welcome. Love hearing from all of you. Again, special shout out to Ruth Ruthless. I think Ruth Ruthless, special shout out to you. And we'll talk all about Prop 1. So So let's get back to this crazy moon stuff. You know, I think the most insulting part of this is that we actually have plans to use 3D printers to print habitats on Mars or on the moon. They have actual, NASA has actual 3D printed habitat challenges. There are actual challenges about how to build homes on the moon with biodegradable materials. There's a Mars ice home concept about using ice as a shielding material to protect against radiation. This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. Because again, we can't even build enough houses for people in the United States of America. And we are already dreaming of building homes on Mars. I think that's a little bit crazy. And you know, you can't help but wonder why we're even doing this, right? And maybe it's because as humans, maybe humanity is a little bit discouraged with itself. Maybe we're looking around the earth and we're disappointed and we're upset and we're saying, you know what? There's so much suffering still. There's so much injustice. There's so many things that aren't going right. Maybe we do want to prove it on some level that we are capable of something extraordinary and ambitious, something that involves so much human creativity and intelligence and cooperation. And maybe this is our way of just trying to prove that we're better than what we see on the ground here. And we're just displacing all of that energy onto a different planet, which is like insane. I mean, that's just such a tragedy because, you know, what stops us from applying that creativity and that persistence and that cooperation and beauty? What stops us from doing that with hunger and homelessness? And you know what I think the answer is, my good friends in Street Strong? You know what I think the answer is? The answer is that I think homelessness scares all of us. It scares us. We don't want to look at it. We don't want to think about it. You know why we don't want to look at it? You know why we don't want to think about it? Because deep down, and not even that far deep down, we know that all of us are potentially vulnerable to becoming homeless. All of us know that at our root, we are vulnerable to losing our sanity, to talking to ourselves on the side of a curb and wanting nothing other than heroin or cocaine to just feel better and to numb ourselves out of existence. We all know on some level that there's really nothing that separates us from the homeless community, that we're all ultimately humans that are trying to get by in this crazy world. And sometimes we can't. And sometimes really bad things happen and we're vulnerable. And I think we don't want to acknowledge that. We don't want to stare this problem straight in the face because it scares the daylights out of us. So what we do is we try and convince ourselves on another planet that we are so capable of controlling our environment and controlling our destiny. And the problem is that our celebration becomes really hollow. We're popping champagne bottles after we land on the moon, and it's kind of hollow. It's as hollow as the craters up there because, you know, it's like, well, I mean, sure, you just proved that humans can do an extraordinary thing, but you proved it in kind of a useless way. Now, I'm not saying that every space mission is useless. There are some pretty amazing technologies that come out of space travel and they get applied onto the Earth and into huge medical advancements and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is we're spending a lot of money to go up there. And that money is desperately needed by people in the flesh and blood who are living, breathing, and dying because they don't have enough resources. So the victory is a little hollow when you go up there and you do this amazing thing, but it's not really in the service of anything that makes people happier or better or safer. And that's a tragedy. To me, that's a great tragedy. It's a tragedy that we know in our hearts we're capable of something so incredible, but we're just not applying it to what matters. It's like the most beautiful bird on the planet that just like doesn't have wings to fly, you know? And the irony is we're flying all the way to the moon for Christ's sake. But you know what I mean? It's like a beautiful bird with the most beautiful plumage. I don't think I've ever used the word plumage in my life. And I don't know if it's pronounced plumage. You're going to help me out. But you know what I mean? It's like, wow, that bird is gorgeous. And it can't fly. It just waddles around and falls over at the low, low price of $93 billion. And we're going to talk about what we could do with that $93 billion. That's the cost of this project of sending us back to the moon. And we're going to talk about how $93 billion could be spent if we used it to combat homelessness in the United States of America. So, you know, getting back to what this says about humanity, I think it's a double-edged sword. It's kind of good and bad, right? It says that we're amazing and incredible. It also says that, you know, we're kind of being distracted, that there's some reality we're not willing to confront, that we have deep fears along with our great ambitions. I think it also, it's almost kind of a narcissistic type of behavior. You know, it's kind of like this defense. You could look at it as a way of saying, like, you know, we know deep down that we're doing some pretty awful stuff here on Earth, that there's a lot of destruction, there's a lot of injustice, but at the end of the day, look how awesome we are because we went to the moon. Like, we couldn't possibly be bad. We couldn't possibly be hollow or spiritually empty as a people, because look what we did. We went all the way to the moon. We're superior. We're amazing. We can conquer anything, right? So I think in some ways it's kind of this narcissism that tries to cover up a deeper insecurity, a deeper sense of inferiority, right? And I think that's a tragedy on some level, but it tells us something. You know, it tells us something, and we ought to really think about that, you know, and so I think that this whole spectacle is sort of a way for us to ignore some of our core human problems, the ones that strike directly into the heart. And that's a shame, you know. And I also, by the way, this is all kind of a form of insanity. You know, this is a little bit of a form of insanity. I mean, I've been working in mental health hospitals for the last 14, 15 years, on and off. And, you know, when God bless these folks, and hey, I'm vulnerable to being mentally ill myself. But, you know, when somebody comes up to you and has this very grand idea, and it's not really tethered to reality, and they're ignoring other parts of themselves and more practical parts of their lives, you kind of think something's not going very smoothly up in their brains, right? I mean, if you have a, put it this way, if you have a chef, right? If you have a guy who goes to a job interview, and he's in Chicago, he's in downtown Chicago, and he dresses up all nice for this interview, and he's interviewing to be the lead chef at a really fancy sushi restaurant. Imagine that guy's at a job interview to be a lead chef in a really fancy sushi restaurant. But the guy can't even make a bowl of ramen noodles. You know, you'd be laughed out of that interview. There's no one in the world that would hire you. They would think you're insane just for showing up in a nice suit, because you can't even make a bowl of ramen. What makes you think I trust you to run my sushi restaurant? You know, I'm not going to let you put that dollop of wasabi on the plate. I'm not going to let you near a sashimi or a rainbow roll because you don't even know how to make a bowl of ramen. And that's how I feel about these lunar escapes, right? These lunar missions. It's like, well, I mean, that's great. You can go ahead and do all that stuff. But you screwed up the bowl of ramen, and so I'm not going to celebrate for you tonight. I mean, they're going up there to find water. It's like, what? Have you ever heard of a Brita filter? All right, so let's move on. $3 billion is the amount of money that's going into this mission. And I guess we're going back to the moon three more times until 2026. We're going to put astronauts back on there. So that's about $93 billion, give or take. Don't quote me. Don't take that to the bank. But $93 billion. Now, what could we do with $93 billion? What could we do? Well, I'll tell you one thing. When it comes to homelessness, and this gets really juicy. When it comes to homelessness, if we took $10 billion of that $93 billion, okay, we could give each homeless individual in the United States $17,240 per person. Now, I want you to think about that, because in a University of San Francisco study, it was determined that 70% of homeless Californians believed that just $300 to $500 would have prevented their homelessness. Just a rental subsidy of $300 to $500, they said that their homelessness would have been prevented entirely. 82% of those Californians who were homeless said that a one-time payment of $5,000 to $10,000 would have completely prevented their homelessness altogether. Okay, so we're talking about $93 billion. Okay. That's enough. If you just take $10 billion of that, just $10 billion, okay? $17,000 per person, per homeless individual in this country. And you have, I mean, imagine what that would do to just end homelessness. I mean, it would quite literally end homelessness. Okay, I know it's more complicated than that. I know there's going to be a lot of people trying to poke and prod and say, oh, that's naive, that's idealistic. And they're going to say, there's always going to be poor people. Yeah, tell that to the guy who landed on the moon. Tell that to the people who are shooting lasers up to the moon right now from their office desk. And they're tipping a rover back on its feet. 650,000 miles away. Tell it to that guy that there's always going to be poverty. I'm not going to swear on this podcast. I like to keep it clean, but I was about to. So $17,000 per person, and that's just $10 billion of the 93. Now, for affordable housing, we could take $50 billion. Now, that's a lot. $50 billion of the $90 billion. That's a big chunk. And we could actually give housing. You know, $200,000 per unit, and we could actually use that to construct new housing for all of those homeless people. Incredible. It's amazing how much $1 billion is, right? This is amazing. But we could use that $50 billion to house everybody in $200,000 units of housing. That's not a bad house, $200,000. We could do that with the $50 billion. With the remaining $33 billion, we could establish a food allowance, okay? If we distributed that to the 500,000 homeless people in America over a year, it would be about $5,000 annually. That's $397 a month. Now, I see a lot of my friends on Skid Row who are living on the margins, even an extra $30. I have friends in Skid Row that need a freaking microwave so that they can prepare meals more regularly, okay? $330 a month is nothing to sneeze at. It doesn't sound like a lot, but again, on Skid Row, it's a good amount of money to at least put decent food on the table. It's a decent amount to just get things done. Some of my friends on Skid Row just need like a grocery cart, not a cart, but like a wheeled cart that they can put their groceries in, so it allows them to transport it around a little bit easier. Okay, they could eat more nutritious food with that. Now, I just wanted to paint that picture for you to give you an idea of, first of all, $93 billion is an insane amount of money. It's an amount of money that none of us can really wrap our heads around. It's as insane as 650,000 miles away on the moon insane. It's hard to wrap our heads around that. And I just want us all to appreciate the fact that that's a lot of Blue Bunny ice cream sundaes. Like I don't even know how many Blue Bunny ice cream sundaes $93 billion is. but that's a lot. And on Skid Row, they like Blue Bunny ice cream sundaes. I can tell you that for a fact. And that's an inconceivable amount of money. And as I think sometimes, you know, we hear politicians just you know, hammer out statistics, and we forget how much money that is. We forget, and that's like a sliver of our budget. That's not even close. That's, I don't even know, but that's not even a 50th of our GDP, okay? And that would do enormous good for the homeless community. Enormous good. And we're going to talk in future episodes about how important housing is, and why that money is well spent. That's another episode. I want to conclude today, my friends, with you know, paraphrasing JFK, who's a great American hero, and he once said, you know, we want to go to the moon because it is hard, because it's a hard thing to do, and you know, I think we should all think about that today a little bit, because what that tells me is that humanity is really inspired by big, bold challenges. That's what lights a fire in our belly, right? That's what gets us going. When something is big and bold and unimaginably difficult, when we challenge the status quo, when we dream big of an entirely new way to exist and to relate to each other, that's when we really start moving and shaking and dreaming and living and loving and learning. And so we need something bold, you know? And I think that ending homelessness is a very bold goal. It's a very bold goal, and it's controversial too. And that's what makes it even better, because there's haters, there's naysayers who say we can't do it. There's always someone in the room saying, you know, saying something about how humans are limited, and they, you know, we're always destined to have poverty and misery and inequality, and it can't be done. And that's exactly why it needs to be done. And that's what JFK, I think he was onto something about that we can turn this into a positive. We can turn this into a positive, because what they're doing on the moon, however pointless as it might seem, it also is proof in the pudding that together we can do unimaginably incredible things, and we can be precise. We can land 650,000 miles away on the precise location that we intended to land on. And even if it tips over, we have lasers to shoot out to the moon to make it upright. I can't even call the DMV without someone hanging up on me. And yet we can shoot lasers all the way to the moon to get a rover to stand up straight again. Humans are capable of the most incredible things when we do those incredible things together. We can end homelessness. We can end poverty. We can absolutely do that stuff. Never accept ever again from anybody that these kinds of bold social changes are impossible. Don't accept it. Point to the moon. Hopefully it's at nighttime when you can point to the moon. If it's during the day, I was going to say point to the sun, but we don't want anybody to go blind here. But in a sense, they are blind, because there is a truth that is glaring at us right now. And it's that the toughest obstacles in the world can be solved if we do it together. And think about your community tonight. Think about your little corner of the world tonight. Think about what you can do, even on your community level, even together in this Street Strong community, what we can do together when we put our minds to it in our little corner. It doesn't have to be a moon landing. It doesn't have to be a Mars landing. It doesn't have to involve shooting lasers out and studying lunar plasma. This is about all of us in our little corners coming together and doing incredible things for our community. Don't let anybody tell you you can't. You can do it. Please rate this podcast, subscribe, share it everywhere you can. Write good comments, good reviews. That's what we live off of. We love you. We thank everybody for tuning in today. This was fun. More to come. Please send me a voice message and recommend future podcast episodes. Ask questions that you may have. We'd love to have you on a podcast. If you're a local shelter, if you have a perspective about homelessness, we'd love to have you on the podcast. We'd love to talk with you more. Always a pleasure. You all take care. Signing out. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Street Strong. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this podcast with every single person you know who is struggling with homelessness. And remember that famous line from Mr. Rogers: when the day turns into night and you're way beyond my sight, I'll think of you.